Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
This is Chris Crane. I want to welcome you to the podcast today, and we have the pleasure of hosting in the podcast studio Brandon Knight. So welcome, Pastor Brandon.
It's so great to be here. I've enjoyed my day with you guys.
Well, it's been an honor. We have had Brandon come, and he's preached to our ministers' conference, and that's been live streamed. And I encourage all of our listeners to go out and watch that. It was an incredible, encouraging message for us, and I'm just thankful that Brandon is a pastor in our city, and he serves at Victory City Church. So tell us, Brandon, about Victory City Church.
Sure. So coming up on the 10th, we'll be 4 years in existence. We planted in March of 2019. Really, it was just a vision of myself and just a few other people who wanted to plant a sound, biblically sound church that was theologically sound, that was in an area that doesn't always get the opportunity to hear the gospel in that way. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of resources. I didn't know a lot about church planting, but I knew that that's what I felt like God was impressing on us to do. And so we've been around for 4 years. It's been an incredible journey. We've had some highs, some lows, and but all of it has been the grace of God. And so we are so thankful.
Well, our listeners don't know this perhaps, but Brandon is a co-vocational pastor. And so he's not only pastoring a church plant and has an incredible family, but he also has another way of serving the community and making a difference. Tell us about that, Brandon.
Sure. So I also have the privilege of serving as the director of spiritual formation at Restoration Academy, which is a private school in Fairfield. And it really is a unique private school situation, whereas a lot of private schools are because the parents can afford to send their kids to private school and kind of want to get them out of public education. But the difference with our kids is we're in Fairfield, which is a lower income demographic, and a lot of our kids, I mean, they're not necessarily falling on the poverty line, but they definitely could not afford to be in a traditional private school. And it costs around $11,000 a year to send a child to Restoration Academy, and none of our parents pay that.
Wow.
Because of faithful Christian donors and partners, many of which are part of the association, we are able to sponsor every single kid that goes to Restoration Academy.
That's an incredible blessing to parents who may be in underserved areas and not have access to quality education as they would see it. So thank you for doing that, Brandon.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I guess week in and week out, you're in the Word of God for two different purposes. So how does that work? You're educating the next generation, and you're doing that same thing, but also many others, adults included, in the worship service. So tell us about being preparing to preach, but also teaching every day.
Yeah, and you know, in a lot of ways, I think what it has helped me do is not lose perspective. Mm. When you pastor a church, you're around adults, some of them are growing in their faith, and you tend to lose perspective on the way the world looks or the impact that it has on, you know, elementary kids, middle school kids, high school kids. And so I think it has increased my fervency, honestly, in my preaching, because I'm aware I'm a little bit more sensitive to the things that are happening. Day to day, I typically only have to teach like senior Bible, and that's my way of really honing in some deeper theological points. From kindergarten to 12th grade, they have to have Bible class, and we hope that we're sending them off as mature believers in the Lord who know as much about their faith as they could at that age. But in between that time, a lot of my prep work for just the school year happens in the summer, since I'm a 12-month employee, and then I can use a lot of that time in between to prepare for sermons. So a lot of people ask how I do it. The main way is the grace of God. Mm-hmm. It is not because I'm able. It's because God is good. You know, He's faithful. I have a really good family. My wife, Christy, is amazing. She makes everything possible. And just being able to use that time well. I get up really early. Mm-hmm. I go to bed really late. So, you know, I fit in as much as that time, but, you know, I think the thing that has helped me the most is wherever I am at that time, I can just be present there. When I'm at our church, I'm present there. When I'm at Restoration, I'm present there. And when I'm at home, I'm present there. And that really helps make all those things function well.
Sure. And something you said about you and Christy and the responsibilities you had, it sparked a question. I know you have a great family and several kids that the Lord has blessed you with. So talk a little bit about home life as a pastor and as a co-vocational pastor working in the school. How does that all work together with you and Christy?
Yeah, you know, my dad is one of the elders at our church, but I actually didn't have the luxury of growing up in a two-parent household.
Right.
And so that was one of those things, even when we got married, that I was just unsure about because I didn't feel like I had enough background for that. And that has been just a complete dependence on the Lord, just to trust him to be present in our marriage. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of believers marrying believers, but that has been such a saving grace. My wife came from an amazing Christian household, and my mother-in-law says she's my mother in love, and it really is that. And the roots, that covenantal blessing is extended to believing parents to their children is so evident in my wife's life. And I think we are seeing just the fruit of that. And I mean, I can't speak about her enough. Like, she challenges me more than anybody. She holds me more accountable than anybody else. And I think that, you know, whenever I start to feel myself a little bit too much, she's very sensitive to that. She knows me very well. And when I am home, I'm expected to be husband and father. And, you know, there are times where some of those roles cross, but I really prioritize, and she makes sure, she lets me know if I'm not prioritizing the way I need to. And I've just seen, you know, just a lot of examples of faithful Christian marriages that have lasted the test of time. And I surround myself with a lot of older men, and that's been the wisdom and the saving grace, honestly.
Well, that's an encouraging testimony, Pastor Brandon. And as I think about all that you have to take care of, I reflect back on a class I had in pastoral care, and the pastor handed out this sheet, and it had all these different things. If these things are going on in your life, or if this is your circumstance, then add 10 points to your stress, you know, and then you get to the score. And, you know, I think about you. You're a church planter. You are working in an underserved community. And you're responsible for the spiritual development of all these children. You are a dad. You have so many factors going on, and you speak of the grace of God in your life. Could you just share a little bit about the discipleship side of that? So what do you do in your personal discipleship to sort of help make sure that you're the solid guy you need to be to do all the things that you're doing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, especially over the last few years, is surrounding myself with older Christians who have just been there, who have endured, who have loved and experienced the grace of God so faithfully. So every Saturday morning, I attend a Bible study. It's hosted by a guy named Don. And what Don has been doing, he goes to Broadwood Church. He's been hosting his men's Bible study for 40 years. And one of our former teachers there, who's like my best friend, Bill Payne, who's been at Broadwood since the 70s, he just invited me right at the beginning of the church plan. And that has been such an experience, developing relationships with them. And they get on me a lot because it's about 25, 30 of us. And they say, why don't you speak up more? I'm like, what could I contribute to all of this wisdom? And lots of times there are people like Sam Cargo, who still is at the school, but we switch roles, and he's been a Christian for decades. And there are just times where I can go to him as a husband. I can go to him as a dad. It's like, what do I do? How do I get through this? How do I do this? And he can give me wisdom. And so it's kind of what I talked about today, is just that safety in those counselors around me, and realizing we're all, you know, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And yeah, I think as long as I can know my weaknesses, I can rely on the strengths of others. And that's what I've done. And I don't do that perfectly. I have my own times where I don't do that well. And I'm not always as gracious as I should be, as merciful as I should be. But those good friends of mine who really hold me accountable remind me how much I need grace and mercy.
That's a great word to all of us and to those who are listening today. If you're especially in the high-stress calling of serving the local church, you have to have people speaking into your life the Word of God. And that brings me to the next thing, Pastor Brandon. You're a graduate of Samford University. You went on, you studied at Dallas Theological Seminary and also at Regent, and that's where you received your master's in spiritual formation. What drew you to that field of spiritual formation?
Well, I knew one of the things that I did not have when I became a Christian is just discipleship. And I knew that that degree field would really help in just how you disciple other people. And I really wanted, you know, if I was going to be a pastor, if I was going to work in a school, I wanted to be able to disciple other people, to be that wisdom that other men had been to me. And so that's why I kind of honed in on there and focused in on there, because we really went through the depths. We looked at the ins and outs, the intricacies, the nuances of what it means to disciple another believer. And, you know, if nothing else, I hope that the ministry that I have beyond the ability to preach would be that I've just been a good discipler.
Well, and I encourage our listeners, if you would look up Brandon and watch some of his sermons, you will see God speak through his life. He loves the Word of God, and it's obvious in his preaching, and we got to hear that today here on site at the BMBA Partner Center. And I was so blessed by your message today, Pastor Brandon. I also wanted to point out to our listeners the fact that you guys have taken your church, this new beautiful church the Lord has blessed you with, and put it in a new community. Yeah. And a new facility. Tell us the story.
So when we first planted, we originally were in Center Point High School, and we weren't planning on staying there long, but it was at this weird time where a lot of people did not want congregations to rent and lease, and so we were really struggling, and we kind of gotten word that the old Hilldale Baptist Church was available through the city, and so we reached out to them, and we were renting in there. And once COVID hit, you know, that displaced us momentarily, but we went back relatively quick in terms of our meeting in person. And then that following January, our building was hit by a tornado.
Wow.
And we had no prospects, no idea, nothing. And it was a faithful friend of a PCA church, Mike Jones, Harvest Community Church, who opened their doors. We had already been fellowshipping with them and opened their doors to us, and that helped us in between that time. And, you know, I'd seen through your faithful work here that there have been some other churches who had gotten buildings, and I just reached out and said, hey, you know, I have no idea how to find a building, buy a building. I would just, you know, be interested if you had anything. And you introduced me to those sweet people at First Baptist Tarrant, and they were so sweet, so loving, so welcoming. And Pastor Derek General, who helped facilitate that, introduced me to them, was very careful, very loving to them. And that story, it kind of goes down in history where I led a Bible study, I preached on a Sunday morning, and they voted on passing the torch to us. And that has been such a blessing. So that was September of 2022.
It's been great to watch it too, Brandon. And some of our listeners out there in Birmingham, they may be a part of a church that is thinking about passing the torch. Maybe, you know, they see the community around them and they're just lacking the ability to reach inside and meet those needs and get new people to come. And so what kind of advice would you give to a church that may be looking at passing the torch to another congregation?
I think my advice would be the same that I think First Baptist Terrence was they had been around for 100 years.
Wow.
And they didn't want that time to be wasted. They wanted to pass their torch to another gospel-centered church that would continue that legacy in the gospel. And I think that's ultimately it. It isn't about pride. It's not about Paul or Apollos, but it is about, you know, the people who are going to commit to sharing the gospel. And I think when looking to do that, if you feel like your church is in that position, the top priority should be sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
People who are committed to the gospel, who are going to share the gospel, who are going to get out and reach those people, you know, not with a political or social agenda, but to convert sinners, to lead them to Christ and to disciple other believers. I think that has to be the top priority, and everything else will figure itself out. But if you can vet a church in that way, there's no better qualification than that.
And I fully endorse Brandon's ministry and his church. I've been there, and I've seen how God has used his sound teaching. And so that brings a question to my mind, Brandon. What are some of the issues that we see, not only in Birmingham, but across the United States, that may be dragging the church down, or some reasons why churches aren't flourishing? What are some concerns that you have as a pastor?
My main concerns, and I've actually written two articles about this on the Gospel Coalition. One was right during COVID, Will the Church Return? And then the next one was called Don't Grow Cold. And I think some of those, the research that Barna puts out about the amount of people who are actually going to church, which is shrinking, the amount of people who are actually opening their Bibles, who profess to be Christians. I think within the church, there is a lack of literacy in the Word of God. And that affects how you go out and witness, how you go out and evangelize if you just don't know as much. But then the church also tends to get insulated. That's within. But without, the people who say they're part of church, that I would say are not a part of the church, are those who are manipulating people for their own gain. And that is so easily eaten. It is so easily digested that people don't realize how damaging it actually is. And so you talk to a lot of people where they go to church, and they go to, you know, mass populist church or whatever the name is. And so you have a lot of people who are catering to a certain demographic. I say the lowest common denominator, preaching feel good messages that aren't leading to spiritual growth. And ultimately that just doesn't affect the church. It affects society, it affects culture, it affects everything else that we see in the world. And so I think, you know, what we need is a return to biblical literacy, care for the gospel, sincerity in discipleship, strategic ways that we're going to evangelize. But it all has to be rooted in the Word of God. There are no systems. There are no special tricks. There are no facades that we can use. You can build a congregation of like-minded people, but that doesn't mean that it's a church.
Mm. Well, Brandon, maybe there's a pastor listening or an elder or church leader, and they find themselves slipping. They find themselves hearing your message and feeling conviction. What would be some practical steps for someone like that to bring the church back to being centered on the Word of God?
I would recommend read Acts. Read Acts. Look at how the church was built. The church was not built on any special theatrics, but it just mentions, one, it was a sense of community, but that community was surrounding the Word of God. And it says that so many people were hearing that the church was being added to daily, and that the people a part of the church did not even consider the things that were theirs their own, but they willfully shared the resource they had with one another. And that goes so many different directions, because now you don't have people, you have Christian doctors, Christian lawyers. You don't have people who are so dependent on the world and the government to get resources, but they can still come to the church and find everything that they need. And you see that was the apostles faithfully getting up and preaching the testimony of what they had seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to which they were so sure of what they had seen that they were willing to go to their grave for that cause. It takes that same fervency within us to say, this is the way that the church is built. We're not just building a church. We are building the bride of Christ, and this is how it is done. And while other people may feel like there are other methods or things that you can do, yes, we can leverage technology. Yes, we can do all those things, but none of those things supersedes what the church is. And that would be my advice, and I understand, like, it is so easy to slip in some of those methods. You see the other churches that are prospering, and you wonder, what can we do? Faithfully preach the text. And I was recently on my way over here, I was listening to John MacArthur's podcast, and they were just interviewing him. And he's been at Grace Community Church for 54 years. And, you know, that's a church that has over 7,000 regular attenders. And if you go in that church, it looks almost nothing like what many modern day churches look. But what has been the key to it is his and the leadership's commitment to the Word of God, verse by verse, and his faithfulness to be true to who God had created him to be.
Well, I'm sure that this has resonated with many biblically faithful pastors, others in Birmingham, others around the country who listen. So, Brandon, how can we keep up with you? What can we do to connect with Victory City Church?
So we have our own podcast as well. That's one major way. And I was just sharing with another pastor. I said that has been such a way for the gospel to spread even beyond where we are. And I would advise anybody who has a church, it's actually relatively easy to get your sermons on the podcast so that people can hear the gospel. And so that's where we are. If you go to any podcast app, just look up Victory City Birmingham, and we are there. We do Facebook Live all the time. But the main way you would keep up with us would be to be at our church. We don't leverage it like a lot of people do, and we're trying to really extend or build this global campus. So you can always follow me on social media, follow the church on social media. Just look me up. I use a relatively easy name, Brandon D. Knight, which is my name. So those are the main ways. But what we hope that you see is just a commitment in every day, a recommitment to the gospel.
We'll drop that in the show notes. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. And I encourage you to connect with Victory City Church and Brandon Knight. Thank you for being here, Brandon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.